Warning! This is a high-speed roller coaster ride that includes sudden and dramatic acceleration, climbing, tilting, dropping, and backwards motion.
Join us as we venture across the state of Florida and enter into another world. A world that we would find both intriguing and inviting. Busch Gardens.
And also pay close attention to the world's best theme park waiter coming up here on the Coaster Geeks.
Welcome to the Coaster Geeks podcast. Is your favorite the Beast, Millennium Force, or Lightning Rod? Whether it's an old Woody, a steel Giga Coaster, or a hybrid, we will chat about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country and search for the best roller coasters. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to the Coaster Geeks podcast. And today we're talking about our visit to Busch Gardens, Tampa Bay. And I am joined by my co-host, Michelle. Michelle, how's it going?
It's going great, Robert. I'm certainly looking forward to telling about this adventure.
It will be a fun one. If you have never been to Busch Gardens, Tampa Bay, it is part of the Busch Gardens family, along with Busch Gardens Williamsburg, SeaWorld, and more. And this is one of those parks that I have not been to in more than 25 years. So it was fun to revisit and see what's old and what is new. And I tell you what, there's a lot here. But we're going to start off by our trip across the state. It's about an hour and a half drive or so from the land that Walt built over to the metropolis of Tampa, and it sure is a big change in scenery, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely a change in scenery for this first time visit for me to Tampa Bay. I found it very interesting how not only did the geography change, but the demographics changed as well.
Right. When you're in Orlando, you truly are in Touristville. Everybody there has one thing on their mind, and that is the Mouse, Universal, SeaWorld, and everything that's happening. But Busch Gardens is in the middle of Tampa. It's one of those parks that truly is an urban park. And I always find that it's interesting to have such a big theme park with houses on one side and the university and everything else right in the middle.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like you said, it's an urban park. It's the local park. These people in Tampa aren't messing around with Walt. They're going to go to their local park.
We arrived the night before our visit to Busch Gardens, and on recommendation from the desk clerk at the Hampton Inn, she suggested we go where the locals go. It was right down the road. It's called Lupton's Buffet, and that was quite the experience. What do you think, Michelle?
You know, surprisingly, three past presidents have visited there to partake in the buffet.
It was an experience. They had all the typical buffet foods, including spare ribs and macaroni and cheese. And
it was a barbecue buffet.
It was. And in order to get the fried green tomatoes and the fried chicken livers, you had to ask for a special order.
I thought it was gizzards, but it doesn't even matter. Yeah. So let's just say, you guys, the restaurant itself, I wouldn't recommend it. I think that their catering is probably better outside of their restaurant. If any of you coaster geeks out there have ever watched any episodes of Robert Irvine's Restaurant Impossible on the Food Network, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. This is one of those places where Robert walks in the door and immediately goes, ick. It was that bad. There was a lady scooping ice cream out of the thing herself, and you're not supposed to. There was a lot of self-service going on. But what got Robert, and it really got my Robert to the point where he was even joining in, they were playing Wheel of Fortune on volume 50, and everyone in the room is eating their food and watching the Wheel of Fortune and participating, mind you, as if we're sitting in somebody's living room, Aunt Irma's living room, eating our dinner on TV trays.
I had a great time. I would recommend Lupton's to anybody. I had a great experience. I played Wheel of Fortune with our neighboring diners, and we definitely got our fill, and it was a cool experience. So like we said, we stayed at the Hampton Inn right across the street from Busch Gardens, and we would highly recommend that. We booked it through the Wyndham app, the Hilton app, so we got some points there. But what was cool is we were able to walk to the park the next day and also keep our car parked at the hotel, even though we checked out. So we saved a few bucks by parking there and, of course, walking to the park. But we also got discount tickets, and they were about $25 cheaper at the hotel than they were at the door, which saved us about 50.
It was an overall savings with the parking and everything, about $75 total.
Yeah, I was going to say about $50 to $75. So anyway, we woke up early the next morning, and like Florida in the middle of August, we were worried about thunderstorms from the get-go. We walked about 3/4 to a mile to the park and entered the park, and it wasn't too busy. We arrived right before 10 o'clock, right at those barricades that they so easily tease you with as you line up to run your way through the park. And at 10 o'clock sharp, they opened up the gates and everybody started running towards their favorite ride. We went over and jumped in line for Cheetah Hunt. And like it always seems to happen to us, we were
on this trip,
we were next in line or just a couple of trains back, and it goes down. And as we talked about in a previous episode with our Islands of Adventure show, this is a relatively new coaster made by the same manufacturer that makes Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure. And it broke down as well. So I think it's back to those sensors and back to what I was saying on that episode with them trying to crank out so many big rides so fast, they just don't have the time to test them out. So what was cool about Cheetah Hunt is it closed down, but just in time for us just to run right next door to Cobra's Curse. And I really liked this coaster. I know Michelle did as well. And we had quite the experience right about in the middle of the ride, didn't we?
You know, I enjoyed that coaster because like I always do, I befriended a couple of people in line around us. I happened to befriend this wonderful gay couple that was in line before us. And we were chatting it up and having a good time. And, you know, we're next in line to get on the ride. And they go, you know, as long as it doesn't rain, this looks like it's going to be a great ride. And one of them says, I think it's a water ride. Because as the ride comes back into the loading zone, if you will, it looks like it's floating. So he thought it was a water ride. And I was like, I don't think it's a water ride. Sure enough, we get on the ride. They get on a car in front of us. We get on a different car. We're going around. This is one of the best roller coasters, honestly, that I have ever been on. It's spinning in a circle and going up and down and backwards, but you don't feel like you're out of control. It's a lot of fun. You do feel like you're sliding around on the back of a Cobra, which is a nice little feature. But as we're coming back around to get back into the unloading zone, what happened, Robert?
It started pouring down rain like nobody's business, and those
like buckets.
And those two guys were in the train right in front of us, and they were just soaked. And they looked over at us, and we all just laughed. And I tell you what, it felt like a whitewater rapids ride for sure.
They totally cursed the ride.
But what was cool about this ride? It's very similar to the Time Traveler ride that's in Branson, and we have not had a chance to make our way over there yet, but it's one of those same type of twisty twirling type rides. But what's cool about it has the elevator drop in it, so you start at the bottom of the coaster instead of going up the typical lift hill as most coasters are set. It takes you up in an elevator and pretty much just drops you out on a 90 degree drop straight down, and it really gets the blood pumping and you're rocking and rolling, and half of the coaster you're going forwards and the other half you're going backwards.
Nobody's screaming on this coaster. This one is full of laughter.
It is fun. So since we got stuck in the rain and we had to wait quite a while to get unloaded, we got the great fortune of getting a fast pass for a coaster where we can skip first in line.
It was a one-line skip.
That's a little ticket, very similar to a fast pass. And they go for about $19 a ride if you buy them individually at Busch Gardens Tampa Bay. So we scored that, and we knew all along that we were going to use that on Cheetah Hunt. So
if and when it reopens.
Yep, so we saved it all day, and we worked our way around the park. Our next ride was supposed to be Montu, but again, it was...
We had the rain delay for almost 2 hours.
Yeah, it was just pouring down rain. I'm talking buckets. It felt like a Florida hurricane. So we waited it out. We were soaking wet still. So we decided to head over to lunch at the Serengeti Overlook Restaurant. And if you go to theme parks, you have a couple of different choices. You have the food carts where you can get the pretzels and the popcorn and that sort of thing, or you can get, you know, sort of that a la carte fare where you get a slice of pizza or an overpriced hamburger or something like that, and you walk away spending $40 or $50 on lunch, and it's no better than McDonald's. So we headed upstairs into the Serengeti, and we had no idea what we were going to experience. It was a buffet restaurant with 3 or 4 courses. I mean, they really laid it out. It was decent food they had.
Well, it was also a little bit swanky.
It was swanky for theme park fare.
And we're soaking wet.
Yeah, it was swanky for theme park fare. I really enjoyed it. Had a very cool view of the Serengeti.
Yeah, absolutely cool view. You could sit there and watch all of the animals. You did not need to ride the train. Your best view is from the Overlook Restaurant.
But the coolest thing about the Serengeti Restaurant is we had this uber cool waiter. I mean, he is the epitome of a theme park restaurant waiter. And I want you to think, just visualize for a second about the Quasimodo character in The Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's what this guy reminded me of.
Well, he looked like it.
He did. And at the end of your meal, he offered you dessert. And they had 3 desserts.
Well, but wait a second. It's a full course buffet. Nicely done out. You're not eating on paper plates and plastic forks. You're eating real food, real silverware and plates. And dessert is included. It's $19.95 per person. It's worth the stop.
It is.
But so dessert is included. So he comes over and you expect him to ask you which of these 3 dessert items you'd like.
And he says something so classic, I'm going to remember it for the rest of my life at theme parks. He says, "What would you like for dessert?" And, you know, we're kind of hem and haw, and we don't know if we want the chocolate cake or the key lime or the cheesecake. And he says, "Have all 3. Who cares?" and it, you know, he didn't care about food costs. He didn't care about the restaurant.
He didn't care that his thumb was in my pie as he's bringing over our pie and our drinks at the same time. In his arm, like we're at his house, not on a tray. This guy was old school, homegrown. Just there was no fancy about Quasimodo at all.
I love the guy. I love the experience at the Serengeti. And if you go to Busch Gardens, you can have lunch at this cool restaurant for about the same price of a slice of pizza and a Coke at one of the food stands. So we sat there for a while, dried off a little bit until the rain stopped. And this was about a 2.5-3 hour delay from the time we got off of Cobra's Curse until the time we were done with lunch. And then we headed over to Montu. This was the ride that we were waiting on when it was really raining hard. And it was worth the wait because it is one of the longest inverted coasters in the world. This is, think of the rides like Batman or Banshee at King's Island. Very similar layout, very similar car situation.
It was exactly like Banshee with an extra probably 1,000 feet of track.
And you are all over the place. I have no idea how many inversions. I have no idea how many dips. But it is a fun coaster, and I highly enjoyed that.
And also, just so everybody understands, it was a smooth ride.
It was smooth. Those inverted coasters like that, they are some of my favorites. Unfortunately, they have not upgraded the restraints on this coaster yet, so you still have the headbanger restraints. But it wasn't
a headbanger because it was pretty smooth, and for me that made a difference.
So yeah, definitely do not skip out on Montu. And then we worked our way all the way across the park. We went through all of the animal exhibits. We saw the hippos and the elephants and the alligators and all of that. If you have not been there, Busch Gardens Tampa Bay is set up like Africa, and it has the little sections of Africa as you're working through. It has the Serengeti and the Congo and Egypt and all of these different parts of the park, and the animals that are supposed to be in that particular park are in that section. So we worked our way over to the Egypt section, and it kind of takes you back to that Middle Eastern bazaar with all of the food and the midway and all of that. And we jumped on the Sand Serpent, which is your typical mousetrap coaster. I don't know why I continue to get on these.
We ride those every time.
We do. I guess it's just a new coaster credit. I curse myself every single time I get on one of these rides. They just tear us up. And being in our mid to late 40s, this is not a ride for the old folks, but hey, they're pretty fun, even though they're all exactly the same. The cars are much tighter than they were back 25 years ago.
Well, because we're a little bit larger.
I was there, but it's still a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, the cars are exactly the same cars as they were the day that you rode them when you were 5 or 6 years old. It's just that we're bigger now. The mousetraps are always fun. They're just jarring. One ride, though, that we did head over to and kind of hesitated as we were in line waiting for it was Scorpion.
Yes, before we rode Scorpion, we got in our carousel credit. As we've mentioned in all of our shows, we love to go on all of the coasters, the carousel, and the log flume. So we got our carousel credit. It was a fun one. And then we jumped in line for Scorpion. And as the app on the Swarm app talks about, it's the coaster that most people start with for a big time coaster. You know, when little kids get on their first coaster that goes upside down, this is the type of coaster that they get on. And it's one of those coasters made by Aero Development. It's old school corkscrew type.
What is it, 1980 something?
It has
one corkscrew.
Yeah, it's old, it's jarring, and I've been nursing a broken rib since winter, and I braced myself a little bit too hard going around one of those embankment turns, and I tell you what, I jarred my back like nobody's business, and I hobbled around for the rest of the day. But we got our coaster credit for Scorpion.
The brakes on that one at the very end throws everybody forward like you've been in a car accident.
Right. So again, we were watching the weather. It looked like it was going to pour down rain, so we had to make our way through the park relatively quickly. Since we were only here for one day, we had to head back to Orlando the next morning. We did not have the option of skipping rides and coming back the next day. So we boogied on over to our next ride, which was Kumba. And that one was a lot of fun. It was long. It was fast. It had all of the bells and whistles that you want on a coaster. I don't think Michelle enjoyed this one. Did you?
No, it was a concussion ride for me. It was pretty jarring. I mean, Scorpion was jarring, but I knew, you know, I'm not nursing a broken rib at T6 in my back like you are. That ride is not fun if you're under 5'4". And I say that because it's a short person challenge to ride some of those rides with the overhead restraints that I refer to as concussion restraints, because you get knocked into them fairly often on those types of rides. That ride in particular reminded me of that Anaconda ride that we rode at, what park was that?
That's at King's Dominion.
Right. So it's almost identical, in my opinion, to Anaconda. It was jarring, jerky, and just not a memorable ride for me at all.
So our next ride is really the highlight of the park. I know that they just opened Tigris this year. Tigris is not a coaster that I would enjoy. It has a very small footprint, and you're just going up and back and flipping a couple of times. I don't consider that a coaster. I'm sure a lot of people that are big-time coaster enthusiasts would argue with me, since it has the cars and the track and the inversions and all of that, but it was not one of my favorite. But Shakira, or Shikra, or however you say it.
Shakira. But hold on a second. With the Tigris, when we walked over to Tigris, number one, it would have been at least an hour wait in the line. Number two, it was pretty novel. As far as I'm concerned, for a coaster, it reminded me of the Joker, where it's a small footprint. You go up and it goes one direction and then you go backwards. And so I don't want to do an out and back. I don't enjoy the out and backs. I don't really consider them, as far as we're concerned, coasters, but we also consider log flumes we don't count those as coasters, but we count those as one of our rides that we do enjoy. So we opted out. Usually I have one coaster at a park that I will opt out of doing just because I know it's not going to be enjoyable or I'm going to literally get a concussion. On this ride, Robert and I both decided to opt out.
We did, and a few years ago on our first Rock and Roller Coaster Tour across America in 2015, I can't believe this is our fifth year of doing this.
My gosh.
We went over to Busch Gardens Williamsburg, which is the sister park of Busch Gardens Tampa Bay, obviously, and that year they had just opened up a ride called Tempesto. It was the ride to ride at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, and it is considerably bit different than this ride, Tigris, but kind of the same type of ride where you go up and back and around and launch and all of that. But I tell you what, Tempesto, even though it's now 5 years old, was much more fun than I think Tigris could be. And I'm sure, again, people will argue with me about that. But a ride that's also very similar to a ride at Busch Gardens, their ride over there is called Griffon. Here it is called Shikra, I believe is how you pronounce it. And it is a dive coaster, meaning it goes to the top and then it hangs there for a bit and then does a drop after 3 or 4 seconds. And I remember when we rode the Griffon at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, Michelle was sitting beside me.
I was petrified.
And remember, she was a coaster newbie at this point.
No.
4 or 5 years ago.
I wasn't a coaster newbie. I hadn't been on coasters in 20 years.
Right. So she was a newbie, and I remember sitting beside her, and I could hear her in my ear there. She was counting as we were working.
Well, the guy next to you goes, "Is everything all right with that lady?"
Yep. As we were working our way, and then that very interesting drop that these type.
I can tell you exactly what second you're at when you hit the drop on Griffon.
Yep. So this ride is very similar to that. It is a little bit older, I believe, than Griffon, but it still packs a punch. I love this ride. I love all of the flips and the turns. And of course that drop where you're heading down into that 90 degree plus drop into that first loop. And then of course you go through the tunnel and then you shoot through the, through the water and it shoots up a big rooster tail at the back. It's a lot of fun. I love these type of coasters, and I know that this is what a lot of the newer coasters are coming out with these dive type coasters, like Valraven and that at Cedar Point. So after this ride, again, we were fighting the weather a little bit, and we had to make sure that we got on Cheetah Hunt. And as we were waiting for our ride on Sheikra, or however you pronounce it again, we were looking on the app, and all of a sudden, Cheetah Hunt was open, and it had been closed most of the day since we were in line at the beginning of the day, and it shut down. So we boogied over all the way across the park, probably a mile or two, and we were scooting as fast as we could. Remember, I had a pretty ranked back at that point, but we made it over to Cheetah Hunt. We used our ticket to get first in line, and it was...
And we still had to wait.
We still had to wait for about 45 minutes or so, but we decided since we had this ticket, we were going to jump into the front car, into the first car on the train. And I'm going to tell you what,
that was worth the extra time.
It was worth the extra time. I'm going to let Michelle describe her experience on Cheetah Hunt, and then I'll fill in the blanks.
Well, let's go to the point where I typically don't want to be the first car. I like being third or fifth. But I said, let's go first. Let's make this one since it's the last coaster of this leg of the tour, let's make it count. Plus, we had waited all day. This coaster, by far, even if we had ridden Tigris, I'm going to tell you straight up, it was better. It's a better design. It's a better ride. It's super long. You get in your car. You get your restraints on. And you head out. You're doodling along. And then kablam, launched. You are launched like nobody's business on this coaster. And it's breathtaking. Absolutely beautiful scenery. It's got all the bells and whistles, the twists, the turns, and the outs. I loved it. I could have ridden it again if the line hadn't been so long, we would have.
This is one of my new favorite coasters. And as we mentioned on our Islands of Adventure show a couple of episodes back, how we waited 4 hours in line for Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure that had just opened up this year. I'm not sure when Cheetah Hunt opened. As we said at the top of the show, it's from the same manufacturer and has a lot of the same elements with the magnetic launches and all of that. But man, Cheetah Hunt is just one of those coasters that you never forget. It is awesome. I think it has two or three of the launches, and then it has a really cool feature at the beginning of the coaster. It's sort of this spaghetti bowl type deal, kind of looks like a knot of some type.
Yeah, it's a knot.
Yeah,
it looks like a pretzel almost.
And you're cruising around after that first launch. I will never forget that. And you can check out a picture of that over on our Instagram page on Coaster Geeks Pod. But as Michelle mentioned, it is a long coaster. I believe it's about 3.5 or 4 minutes, and it takes you way deep into the park.
Well, you get through that second launch, and you think it's over,
right?
And then it launches you a third time.
Yep. And it goes all through the Serengeti. So it goes almost all the way over to the Egypt section of the park. And if you look real close, you will see all of the animals on both sides, the giraffes and the zebras and the antelope or whatever those are running around. And it's taking you through the Serengeti, and you feel like, I believe you would feel like a cheetah would feel as they're cruising along at 60 or 70 miles an hour as they're going. And it has that cool restraint system where it's not necessarily restricting over the shoulders. So it gives you some room to move. And
you're not hitting your head.
Yeah, I really liked it. It's one of my favorite coasters right now. And when I update my top coasters for steel coasters, I think this might make the top five for sure. So we were done at the park at this point. We got in all the rides that we wanted to do. We had a long walk back to the hotel, but we found a break in the weather and Fortunately, it did not rain for the rest of the day, but being the foodies that we are, we had to find a good place for dinner. So we drove across town to one of the shopping malls, and we found a place called Mitchell's Fish Market. And I really enjoyed this place, but Michelle has to tell you about her cotton candy drink. Let's go.
The State Fair Paloma is a tequila drink. Are you guys catching on? I like tequila. It's a tequila drink poured over a salt-rimmed glass, but it's poured over cherry cotton candy. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. You don't know that you're drinking tequila at this point because it tastes like you are drinking a liquefied Sour Patch Kid. That is what it tasted like. It was fun. It was worth it. I forced Robert to take a sip just so he could taste it because I kept saying, oh my God, it's like a Sour Patch Kid. It was really good.
Yeah, I'm not a tequila fan, but this was a decent drink. It had that perfect balance of sour, sweet, and salty all mixed into one. So,
but man, I could have done about three or four of those. You would have been in trouble.
So yeah, definitely check out the Mitchell's Fish Market, real close to the bridge that heads over.
It was at the Florida Mall.
Nope, Florida Mall was in Orlando. I can't remember.
Oh, that's where we spent all the money on the iPhone.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of this mall, but it's real close to the bridge that takes you over the bay into St. Pete and all of that. So we spent the night at Embassy Suites. We got a really cool upgrade by using booking.com, and it had been a long time since I stayed in an Embassy Suites, and I forgot what I was missing out on. That was a heck of a nice room for $80, wasn't it, Michelle?
Well, back to my newbie status, you used to stay in the Embassy Suites, apparently, well before we got married, when you were in your little rock band, and I had no idea that, we've been in those type of suites before, where they're extended stay. We've stayed at extended stay a couple of times, but those are no big deal. So they've got a couch. They've got a little refrigerator. Not a big deal. This had a full-on other room.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. We kicked back and relaxed. We even recorded a podcast episode there. Had a good time for a good price. So I guess in closing, we're going to do what we do and give our rating of 1 to 10 of Busch Gardens Tampa Bay. And remember, Michelle, 1 is just not a big deal park, and 10 is a bucket list item. I know we had talked about going to Busch Gardens Tampa Bay for 5 years. I remember when we were at Williamsburg, I said, we've got to make it to Tampa. We got to make it to Tampa. It is such a different experience. And for folks that don't know, Busch Gardens Williamsburg is my top park in the country. It's absolutely my favorite. I love going there. And I will give my rating in just a second. But Michelle, what do you think about Busch Gardens?
I think we need to go to the one in California.
They don't have a Busch Gardens.
They used to.
Yep.
Didn't they?
Nope. Now it's just the SeaWorld parks. They do have one in San Diego. But we've also been to the SeaWorld parks in San Antonio as well as Orlando. So what do you think about Busch Gardens?
I think that Busch Gardens Tampa Bay overall rating for, and when I'm rating them, it's not just rating them on the rides. I'm going to rate them on cleanliness. I'm going to rate them on food service. I'm going to rate them on how other park goers are experiencing the park and how they're reacting to me and how I'm reacting to them. Because we've been at parks where we've had some incidents. This park in particular, I'm going to give it a 9. The landscaping was on point. Everybody was enjoying themselves regardless of the weather events. We made the best of it. We were all soaking wet. No way in the world, though, were we going to pay $19.95 for a poncho after we were already wet. That's insanity. So I would give it a 9. And that includes our Quasimodo experience there at the restaurant.
And I have to disagree with you there, Michelle. Even though they had some top-notch coasters with Sheikra and Kumba and Montu and Cheetah Run, I'm going to give Busch Gardens Tampa Bay a solid 5. Just your average.
Oh, really? That much difference in my experience?
The average run-of-the-mill theme park. And I do that because we've been to a lot of theme parks all over the country. As I mentioned, the bar is set pretty dang high with Busch Gardens Williamsburg. And then you have to think about other parks that have, at least in my opinion, a much higher ranking, such as Hershey Park and Holiday World and some of those other really cool small family type parks that we've been to that really cater to the park visitors. But it's a good park. It's definitely one that you have to visit. And remember, I have not been back to this park. I had not been to this park since 1992 or 1993 in my Florida visiting heydays when I used to live down on Fort Myers Beach. And I thought I was going to be the next rendition of Nirvana or Pearl Jam or something like that. So a lot has changed. Of course, a lot has upgraded since then. But I think it's a good park. It's definitely one that you should visit, especially if you're already in Orlando. It's worth the drive of an hour or two to check out Busch Gardens Tampa Bay. Michelle, anything else you want to say in closing?
You know, I think that that's a good point because you've experienced more of the Busch Garden parks than I have. But if you average our score, we're right there about the same, about 7.5 on this park. If you took both of our scores and averaged them out, I always like to base it on my overall experience, not just on the coasters I'm trying to ride.
So that is our visit to Busch Gardens Tampa Bay. Make sure you check out our other episodes. You can find them on coastergeeks.com. You can also follow along on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter by searching Coaster Geeks Pod. Please let us know what you think of Busch Gardens Tampa Bay. What are your thoughts about the park? And please correct me on my mispronunciation, and I mispronounced that, my mispronunciation of the coaster names. I'm sure I got them wrong, but I don't know all these cool African names for some of these coasters. But definitely check it out and let us know what you think. We will see you guys next time. Goodbye.